Ja, voordat we beginnen met de aflevering, even dit. Basgasten is tegenwoordig ook te vinden op een vriend van de show. Je kunt dus vriend worden van Basgasten. Want ik betaal nu mijn reiskosten en mijn Buma-licentie en zo. Dat betaal ik allemaal zelf. Deze podcast levert me niks op. Ik zou het super fijn vinden als je me steunt met een kleine bijdrage. Dan kan ik deze podcast blijven maken. Dus ga naar vriendvandeshow.nl/basgasten. Word vriend van deze show. En help me om deze podcast voor te blijven zetten. Door naar de aflevering. Ja, dit is weer een nieuwe aflevering van Basgasten. Mijn naam is Hidde Roorda en in deze podcast ga ik in gesprek met bassisten over wat ze drijft, welke spullen ze gebruiken en welke mensen hen inspireren. Basgasten wordt mede mogelijk gemaakt door De Bassist, het magazine voor de Nederlandse en Belgische bassist. En in deze laatste aflevering van seizoen 2 spreek ik met Kinga Klik. Dit Poolse megatalent gaf acte de présence op het Dutch Double Bass Festival in Rotterdam. En ik sprak haar voor een live publiek en het zou dus kunnen zijn dat je de vragen van het publiek niet super goed kan horen, maar het antwoord van Kinga is er niet minder inspirerend om. All right, let's get this thing going.
Yeah.
Hi, Kinga.
Hello.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
We met about 30 minutes ago.
Yeah, pleasure to talk to you.
And we're both nervous.
Yeah, we are.
Because you said this is the first time you're doing this. It's not your first interview, right?
No, but in front of the audience, yes. It's the first time. I've never talked about music so openly when people look at me.
Well, there are only nice people here, so
yeah, I know.
I think we'll be fine.
Yeah, I know.
We're also recording this for my podcast.
Yeah.
So in my podcast, I almost always start with the first question. The first question is always, which bass are you playing? Mm-hmm. And I think many people recognize the jazz bass you're touring with right now. Can you tell us a little bit about this bass?
Yeah, I can simply just say that it's a Jazz Fender bass made in Japan and it's pretty new. It's 2009. And my dream is to have an old Jazz Fender bass that you have. No, I'm really impressed with the sound of this bass, because I think I was always aiming to have the old Fender Jazz bass, but I couldn't afford it. So this wasn't super expensive. And I was surprised that I actually can make good sound, and it's not always about buying something expensive.
Not always.
Yeah.
If I'm informed correctly, this is not your first bass, but your first bass was a Greco. Is that correct?
My first bass didn't have any popular brand. It was Meg, but now I think it's a different brand. And then I had a Fender Mustang.
Right.
Yeah, because my hands were too little or too small to play. And Greco EB3 I have at home with me, and I really like the sound as well. Yeah, so I'm still very close with Jazz Fender's bass.
So you say my hands were too small to play a big bass, because you started pretty young, right?
Yeah, I started when I was 11, and around when I was 12, I was playing. I started to play in our family band with my dad, because he's a musician too. He is a vibraphone player and a drummer, and we had a family band. And my brother was playing on the drums, and my dad was playing on the vibraphone, and me, 12 years old, was playing on the bass. And we released an album together. I'm very thankful to have this beginning.
Did you realize how special that was to have an album out by 13? Or
I didn't. No, I did. I think it was just a great journey for me, and also I felt supported by my dad, and I think I've learned a lot being on the stage from very young kid. And it wasn't easy for me always to cope with my emotions and with being in front of the people and playing everything, because I've never been in a music school, mm-hmm. so I'm self-taught. So for me, life is a process of learning, yeah.
So did that you said it was difficult to cope with your emotions, was that mainly on stage, like, oh, wow, all these people are looking at me and I have to not make mistakes, as
yeah.
we mentioned before yeah, the conversation?
Kind of. I think now I'm more thinking about being healthy in my head about performing, that I don't want to feel judged and I don't want to prove anything, because I just want to do my best and share what I have and play bass because I love it. But I don't want to prove that I'm better than I am, because I know I have to practice a lot.
I think that's lesson number one, keep practicing. But was that a conscious decision, like, okay, I'm feeling this on stage, I'm going to do something about it, and then like get into a process of, well, let's call it self-acceptance, like, okay, I'm just this musician, I can do this and I can get better, but that's it.
Mm-hmm. I think I'm still in the process. It's not that I'm a professionalist with that and I go on the stage and like, I'm fine, I will just play for these people and I have fun, but I think it's all about trying to understand the reason why we go on the stage, that it's not a competition, and I just want to share the music and tell the story using my instrument. And yeah, I just want to improve my vocabulary as a musician, because even when I was learning English, it was a long process for me to learn English and I was struggling so much. And now I understand that I just need to learn word after word. And this is the same with my instrument. I just learn sentence after sentence and how to connect them together and how to use them fluently. And if I can't do it, I just have time to improve that skill. Yeah.
I think the first solo record you made was when you were around 20. What was that like, deciding like, okay, I'm ready to make this record under my own name? Because you were always in a family band, and then there's this process of in a studio and everything is mm-hmm. up to you,
yeah.
like all the choices. And
so I think my first personal album I've released when I was 18, and I think my dad, or I know my dad was always encouraging me to create music and to express myself, and I followed his advice. And I recorded my first album in the studio with my dad on the drums, and he was helping me a lot, and also, yeah, being super supportive in that. And when I was 19, a year later, I released second album, Life. So this was a challenge for me, because I was aware that I'm going on the stage and I have to talk to the audience and I have to play the whole repertoire, and that was a huge challenge for me. And when I was 20, that was my third album, actually. And I would say this was the biggest challenge in my life, the third album, because I had an opportunity to record this album with great musicians, but they were very mature. And I think I just experienced to create music in the real moments with the musicians that inspire me so much, but I need to follow them very quickly. And sometimes I was aware that I'm a small girl still in the music, and I just want to follow them, but sometimes I can't do these steps so quickly as they do. So I was super thankful to have this opportunity, but it was, just a big challenge for me. But I'm really, really happy with the result. So Dream is the third album I released with them.
Must have been weird having musicians in the studio that you want to follow. But they're also like in your service. So they follow you and you follow them, like.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think this is still something that I I need to understand, or I always put myself below people that I work with or whatever. Maybe because I'm aware that I don't know this and that, and I want to be better at this and that, and there are people who can play this and fast and whatever, and they know everything about music and I don't know. And then I'm super like, maybe I shouldn't play.
But still you realize music is not a competition.
Yeah, so I tell you, it's for me, I'm just a simple girl who's just trying to understand my role on the stage and my role in life.
So when you were starting out, were there bass players you were looking up to, or was it just like figure out that instrument and then mm-hmm. finding out, oh wait, there are a couple of cool guys on records?
Mm-hmm. I, from what I know, when I was a toddler, I was standing in front of the radio and I was pretending that I'm a bass player. So I think from the beginning, I was sure that I want to play bass. And I remember that maybe I didn't know how the bass looks actually, but I was in love with the sound of it, and that I can be on the background and glue everything together, but I can also go in the front and lead something. And I was following Jaco Pastorius for sure as the first hero of the bass, I think. Yeah, and many others, and my dad was just showing me more jazz scenes.
I'm just wondering how many of you knew about the existence of Jaco Pastorius when they were 11? One, two, three, including myself.
Yeah, but it's not because of me. I think it's because of my dad, who was just a jazz musician.
Yeah.
Yeah, who was, and I was super in love with mainstream jazz when I was 12. I was like listening many hours, just John Coltrane and Miles Davis and everything. It must be intense. That was my
my lots of energy and complicated music.
Yeah, but now I think I have a different period in my life about finding what I like to listen to. But I'm happy to just have different periods in my life.
Do you really feel like you have these inspirational periods where like you started out with the mainstream jazz and then something else and then something else?
Yeah,
happened.
Yeah, a bit. I think now I'm a bit more in the funky style, and that's why I released the fourth album, Feelings, and it's more funky, and it's more this was the first album I was producing with a producer, actually. So it was a cool process for me as well to be in the room with someone who can help me, actually. Yeah.
I think a lot of bass players, when they think about releasing a solo record, it must be a little bit funky because, you know, that's the bassist's music, let's call it that.
Yeah.
But also I find it very hard to find bass player solo records that, like funky records that really stand out between all the other like slappy, let's go and give up the funk records. Were you conscious in that process, okay, I want to make a funk record that really appeals to many people, or maybe bass players in particular, but also be a real Kinga record? How did that work for you?
I don't think I aim to record a funky album. I just need to have an idea for the song, and then I know in which direction it goes. And I had many ideas that could actually create a more funky, or I don't know, album.
I think many people know you from opening a can of beer. No, from many of your YouTube videos. I think I was thinking about this the other day. I think you might be one of the first bass players with a solo career that got really famous through social media and YouTube.
Yeah.
You said that, yeah, it must be me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that weird to know to have a lot of fans that, you know, you don't see on a daily basis or a weekly basis because it's all online?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think because you probably ask about Tears in Heaven cover.
Of course.
Yeah. All people ask about that.
Of course.
So I've never thought that this video will reach so many people. And I remember my brother didn't want to help me with recording this video, and I was begging him, like, please help me to record it, because I can't just play and record myself, and just give me 15 minutes, like, I will play it once, and we have it. And he's like, okay, fine. And then we recorded it at my friend's flat, and I went home, and I remember I was also wondering if I should give this video to my friend who is a cameraman or whatever, and mm-hmm. he can color a bit the video to make it more professional or whatever. And I was like, yeah, but who will watch it? I don't know if it is that important. And my dad said, no, just post it. And I said, no, I want to put a good quality always. So I just sent it, and he sent me this back. And after a week, this video had over 20 million.
How many views did it have already?
So this video was removed from the Facebook portal because I think there was something with copyrights, and the guy who posted this video, he was scared or afraid that they will remove his portal. So he wrote to me, I'm sorry, I have to remove the video, even if I'm happy that there are many, 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 many views. I have to remove it. So my friend just took a screenshot that there was millions of views. And now I think it's 10 million. But it had to be removed.
By coincidence, that fragment passed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that was the first time I recognized.
Okay.
It.
Yeah.
No. Do you get tired of people asking about that particular video? Like, okay, yeah, that was a couple of years ago. Leave it. I have new stuff. I have four albums.
No, I think I understand that. And I understand that people want me to play this song live. I don't like to play it live. And I don't do that anymore, because I was playing it when I was promoting Dream album, because it's mm-hmm. also released on this album. But now I just wanted to, yeah, have a different period in my life. And also, when I was talking about this stressful situation on the stage, I think with Tears in Heaven, I just feel so much pressure on it, and I can't enjoy it. And I remember I was playing many times, and I played the whole concert. And I remember that I would probably do the same with someone. The whole concert passed, and then people were clapping. So I went and I sat on the stage, and I started to play Tears in Heaven, and everybody came and took their phone, and they were like half a meter. And I was like, no, this is just really... I want to play it nicely, but I just have to switch my head to just enjoy playing music and not being like, oh, they will just post it, or they wait for me to, I don't know, whatever. It just sometimes hard for my head.
And it always sounds crappy on the phone. I mean, there's a video online. Go and watch
it
that.
No, I think I understand that people want to hear something that they know. It's obvious, because we want to understand the music. Yeah, if we know
also,
it to be.
Also, your jazz concerts are on YouTube.
Yeah.
It's very nice to see and hear the music.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much.
Much more intention than Tears to
Heaven. Then, yeah. And also, Tears in Heaven, it's not my... It's, I didn't find out how to play it.
No.
It's Jeff Berlin's version. So I always try to tell to people, because you played it now, but I played the cover. So actually, it's not my... version.
Yeah, yeah. All credits go to Jeff Berlin.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
100%.
I hear a lot of names when interviewing bass players. Like, yeah, I you know, I like you mentioned Jaco Pastorius, and then many pop musicians mention Paul McCartney, but not many people mention Jeff Berlin.
Yeah.
Is he an inspiration for you?
He is. He is. I think I didn't know him very well, and that's actually sad. But I think his knowledge about music and how well he can create. For example, if you just take the Tears in Heaven and make it apart, or I was trying to understand how he created this melody. It's just so smart. So I have huge respect, and I'm inspired to understand music more deep so you can be able to create something like that. And I think also, I don't know if you would say that he's not that famous as well, Victor Bailey. I think I'm so impressed with his music and the way he expresses music as well. So yeah, I recorded his song "Low Blow" on the newest album as well. So tonight I will play his song as well.
I think Jeff Berlin and Victor Bailey both are really like creating musicians.
Yeah.
If you hear them play, they're constantly creating new stuff, and you can hear them feeling and thinking what's going to happen next.
True.
Is that something you relate to, or I think I'm trying to ask how much is created on the spot at your concert? Like, do you play your tunes and then just go, okay, this is the tune, mm-hmm. and then next tune, or how flexible are you live?
I think it depends what album I'm presenting. Because with the previous album, Dream, it was more about improvisation. And now with the Feelings album, it's more about telling the whole story I've created. So there are times that we improvise, of course, and there are just planned theme that we play together. And I think I like, and I try still to find a balance between improvising and having a melody that you can actually recognize the song. So it's not about that I listen the whole album and I can't remember anything actually. So I really appreciate when I just can say, oh, this theme was just really beautiful. And yeah.
Let's keep it.
Yeah, let's keep it.
You were talking about the great musicians you've been recording with. We are in Holland. You play with a Dutch drummer, mm-hmm. Joran Vroom.
Yeah.
How did that collaboration with Joran
come to be? Long ago. He was playing with me even the previous album, Dream. And I really like to work with him. And I found him through YouTube, as people find me. I think I saw him for the first time playing with Corey Henry. They're playing the duet together. And yeah, I just contacted him if he's interested to create some music with me. And he was, so I'm very thankful.
Great.
To have him on the stage as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. He's a really nice guy.
Yeah. Someone's like, yeah, yeah, it's really nice.
Friends.
Of course.
It's better.
Yeah.
It's the best way. Then you trust each other.
Especially when being bass players. We need each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are there any questions from the audience in the meantime? I mean, feel free to ask if you want to know something. Just let me know and we'll figure something out.
Can I ask?
Yeah,
sure.
I'm 54.
Yeah.
How old are you?
I'm 24.
You had to think about that. How old am I? Yeah.
I'm 24.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you were older. I see some YouTube videos of live concerts from you.
Okay.
So now I'm really surprised. I really thought, never see you in person. I just said hi to you.
Oh.
Now you say 24. Wow. Okay, so I grew up also with Jeff Berlin. Do you know what he did with Bill Bruford? With Alan Holdsworth?
Yeah, I know it, yeah.
Okay, so if
Naya. Yeah, but you ask if I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This jazz rock thing, what they did with Annette Peacock.
Okay.
The album, two albums from Bill Bruford with Jeff Berlin on the bass.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Okay.
So I'm asking, do you know it or?
Yeah, I think. I will listen through the whole album many times.
It's one of a kind.
My guess is there are many notes as well. Anna Holdsworth and Jeff Berlin and Bill Bruford. Yeah. Many notes.
Many.
this is like not the first thing, but this is when he came out in this time.
Yeah.
So 30 years ago, with Jeff Berlin. Yeah. Okay. One note. We were born on the same day, him and me.
Oh, really?
In concert. And he was like, yeah, I was born on the 17th of January. They were like, me too! So I went over to the States and I showed her my passport.
That's great.
That's some great information there.
Yeah. Also, Muhammad Ali is born on the 17th.
So anyway, talking about great musicians, the guys you just mentioned, you've mentioned until now, are like bass players, if you know what I mean. Like really appealing to bass players because, you know, they're very melodic or very soloistic. Were you trying to also find bass players on records? Like, okay, this sounds great, let's check out who this is. I mean, I'm very much of detail. Like, okay, I want to know who all these musicians are and which gear they're using and and so on and so on.
With the equipment, no, I'm not checking that. I think I'm very simple with the equipment, and I've never been super deep in finding and trying to understand everything. My brother he's my sound engineer, so he's more just understanding everything deeply, and he would always show me something and explain how to use things. And this is about the equipment. And I think I listen to music widely, or I don't listen just part of the bass. And sometimes, of course, I would check who's playing, but I just try to find the whole album or the song beautiful. And recently I was listening to Bobby McFerrin and his album Bang Zang or Zoom Bang. Zoom Bang.
Zoom Bang, yeah.
And I was just in love with the music, really. And these are moments in my life that I just want to remember the album and go back to it. And that's what I'm looking for, to wanting to hear something again.
And that's when you get into a new phase of inspiration.
Yeah, yeah. And I really appreciate space in the music, and this is what I'm trying to learn as well, to be able to take a rest on the stage as well. And yeah, I think to understand the silence is also something that we need. And when I talk to you, I also have to do a break when I say something so people can understand what I'm talking about. Because if I say everything immediately, every word I know, you don't understand what I want to talk about. So it's the same with the bass. If I just play every exercises that I can play, like, makes no sense for the audience. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like literally making sentences.
Yeah.
And then also putting a comma or a period in between.
It is. It is, yeah.
I think it's a problem for many bass players. Like, wow, there's a hole in this. There's room in this song. Let's play a fill or some kind.
Yeah, but I think it's really hard to take a break, especially on the stage, because I think we feel different emotions being on the stage, and audience or listeners, they have different time for everything than we have. And I understand it more when I listen to someone playing, because I think I understand why they are behaving like that, because they feel, I don't know, pressure or something. But actually, we should just breathe and take it
just
easy.
Just relax.
Relax. Yeah. And actually, I think for me, this period of time when COVID started is good to do a research and to learn things and to listen to some interviews. Or I started to do ear training every day and just, I don't know. I'm thankful to have time to improve and don't feel that I don't improve.
Do you have some standard exercises you do when, like, practicing? I think everybody has some standard licks they might be playing, or I'm working on this and this right now.
Yeah, actually, I wanted to share with people recently the exercise. Exercise, it's Schradiek. It's an exercise for the violin, actually. And it goes like,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, whatever. I don't have to play the whole exercise, but this exercise is to make your fourth finger stronger, because I think it's usually weak. So even when you start to play this, when I started to try to play it, it was very painful.
Like,
it was very painful, and I think it's just good exercise for my technique, because I want to improve it, and I don't know how, because I know I can play these exercises for also, and I know them, but I wanted to have something that also sounds melodic.
Right, it sounds like it's music instead of an exercise.
Yeah, so I want to just be able to play it fast and slow and beautiful, and it's really, really good for just having strong fingers. And if you are interested what it is, it's Shradiek, second Shradiek for the violin, actually, and it's very, very helpful.
I think that's also a very underestimated quality in playing an exercise, like make every note sound good.
Yeah.
Instead of just make sure that you play these notes.
Yeah, and I think we should be creative in, even with exercises that... You think about music, and now I can play like a song, but I can also play like an exercise. And I think I just have to understand what I'm doing at a certain point. I'm trying to be creative musically, or I just try to practice technique or whatever.
So what is the biggest lesson the lockdown and the COVID situation taught you?
Hard question. The biggest.
I mean, for me, it was you practice way too little because you have like rehearsal and gigs and whatever.
Yeah.
So you play enough, but I noticed I rarely touched my basses when I was at home. Like, I don't like playing alone.
Yeah.
I mean, I need a drummer or whatever.
Yeah. I think I try to be consistent in doing things, and I was reading a book about learning recently, because I moved to France recently, and I want to learn French. That's funny.
Very useful one, being in France.
Yeah, but I know that for me, learning new language is a big challenge, but I also want to do that. And I've read a book about how to learn properly and how to not lose the time that we spend on practicing. And I think very often I just lose my time even when I think that I'm practicing. Because even when I practice certain songs, I don't understand what I play, or my mind is not focused anymore. And I was thinking, I just should play for 4 hours long. And I was doing that, but now I realize I wasn't focused enough to take something from these 4 hours. And now I would prefer to practice 40 minutes and say I play technique things for 40 minutes. Then I can do ear training for 15 minutes. Then I can read the music, because I need to be able to read the music for 15 minutes and not be like, I have to do everything very long. So I think that's what I'm learning now, to just be smart about working, and see the progress that we do, because I just don't want to lose the time even when I think I'm not losing it.
So know what you're practicing.
Yeah, very, very simple exercise that you say, now I practice slowly to being precise, 15 minutes, just being precise about things, and I'm doing that. Now I try to play a good bass line, and I know what I'm doing. It's not like I'm just spending time. And that's what my dad was saying, like, always, did you practice today? Because I heard you, and I was like, yes, I was practicing. And he said, no, you weren't.
You were playing.
You were playing. I was like, Dad, just I don't know.
It's amazing how that didn't put you off the instrument.
Sometimes it was hard, you know. I was crying many, many, many times because I wanted to go outside and be with my friends. But I'm thankful for someone who was pushing me and motivating me. But yeah, it's not easy always, and it's not that I always want to go and pick up my bass. I have to motivate myself. And my sentence that I have in head recently is that it's not about me wanting to do practicing, but it's more about doing it. That I just go there, pick up my bass, try to have this exercises and done it. And it's the same with when I want to go for a run. I just have to go and do it and not being like, oh, I just don't want to go.
I should go.
Yeah, and then I'm just so sad that I'm not motivated. So it's all about doing it, even for a short time, but just do it every day. So not easy, but I try to do it.
Yeah, just do it daily.
Yeah.
I mean, I think maybe someone maybe more people in the audience recognize that, okay, I have to practice a lot.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, is wrong. You just have to practice many times.
True.
Like, no, yeah. 8 hours. Have you ever practiced 8 hours in a row?
When I was thinking that this is useful. Yeah.
can I make a remark, please?
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
When I was like 18, I played guitar.
That's the wrong choice, sir.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, yeah. Since I was 11, and I chose for myself, I bought my first electric guitar when I was 11. When I was like 18, I was frustrated with listening to Alan Holdsworth, listening to Jeff Berlin, listening to Tony Miola, listening to John McLaughlin, and I was like, meh, and I read interviews with them, and it was like, shit, I have to practice 6 hours, 7 hours in the day to get this kind of level, and I can't because I have other things to do. I have to work, and I have to go to school or something. But then, luckily, I loved him already a long time. I read an interview by Carlos Santana, and he said, if you can put your feeling into one note, that's it. Then
yeah, I think
if you play for an audience, and there's one person in the audience that feels this one note, that's it.
It's worth it.
I think it's also coming back to the thing you said a couple of minutes ago, like, it's a building of a vocabulary. So if you can say something with a few words, that's fine.
Yeah.
So if you can say something with a few notes, that's great.
Yeah.
If you want to have a lot of words to use, whether or not to use them, you need to practice.
Yeah.
That's a vocabulary thing.
And it saved my life in music. I was like, I can take time. I'm not in a hurry to be the fastest.
I don't want to be in a race, you know, because then I'm just waking up and just feeling like, oh, I want this person to give me a follow or a like, and it's not worth it, because I think then we start to race actually and not just enjoying the music and improving and just being competitive, but with ourselves and seeing like, oh, I didn't know that a few years ago, but now I'm here and I know these things a bit better. So, but I think it's still a process, as in life, with our heads and minds.
Oh, definitely. It's an indefinite process, I think.
Yeah.
I think the remark you made is also very interesting when mirroring yourself to other musicians in their routines or their way of working.
Mm-hmm.
I try to read as few interviews as possible when someone's talking about practicing.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think I can feel what's best for myself.
Yeah.
Do you inform yourself on how other people work, or do you really try to find your own way of doing stuff and think of your own exercise or finding a violin
mm-hmm.
piece?
Yeah, I think sometimes it's the same with creating music, that I sometimes it just come to my mind or my head, and I try to be creative even with exercises. And even when I was playing, I have the simple scale. I thought maybe I can just play 5 notes. And that sounds more interesting than just playing 4 notes. And these are just simple changes that I want to be creative with as an exercises. And maybe it's nothing, but I know that we have so many information on the internet now. I was doing a research for many hours because I myself thought so. I was trying to find this information I need. And I found, probably you know, most of you, Rick Beato. This is the man who helped me a lot with the knowledge about music. And he created a website, Ear Training, actually. And this is very helpful to have something that you can do every day, even for a short time, if you've never been at music school and nobody was checking if you are able to hear intervals. I want to do it for myself, and even if people would say, oh, you don't need it because you play, I wanted to know that I know that. So I think there are many, many websites that are helpful for just improving the knowledge on the internet these days. And it's scary that you can find everything there. Yeah. You don't need anyone to help you, actually. You can do it on your own, but I think it's always great to be in person with someone. Yeah.
Especially when getting better ears.
True, yeah.
you need some musicians. If you don't have a band, get one.
yeah. Real life and real music.
You already mentioned that you're self-taught, and then, you know, you're doing the Rick Beato ear training and stuff. Did you find, I mean, sometimes you could find when being self-taught that you've learned a skill in a way that inhibits your playing because you're doing it wrong, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Were there moments where you thought, like, wait a second, someone is playing a lick, or I'm seeing someone playing something, mm-hmm. and how does he do that? Because my technique is way different than that. How did you cope with that?
I think with my normal way of playing, like 2 fingers and here, I didn't have any troubles. Maybe I'm wondering how people can play that fast. I've never had jealousy of playing so fast. I think I want to have the skill, and I will improve the skill to just playing fast, but I've never thought about that this is the most important skill to have. So I think more with the slap. I don't know how they do certain moves, and I try to figure it out and watch videos how they slap properly. And I can slap in my own way, and people will say that I'm pretending to be a Marcus Miller, but I'm not.
I think all bass players that play a little bit of slap bass are either Mark King or Marcus Miller, yeah. Lookalike, right?
Yeah.
true.
Yeah. So I think I didn't have issues with not understanding how to play things. Yeah. I don't know
easy, right?
No, I think it just takes time to figure it out. And I think in my head it's always important to don't have tension.
Mm-hmm.
And this is actually with the exercise I showed you. If you play it with the tension here, you're not able to play it faster. So I think it's all about us trying to not be super intense with trying to play something fast or even slow, just to not have attention in your hands.
You already played a violin piece. How and where did you get inspiration from other musicians? Like, do you listen to a lot of, you already mentioned John Coltrane.
Mm-hmm.
How do they inspire you when creating music? Is it the literal vocabulary? Okay, this is a great line. Let's try and figure out what Cannibal Adderley is playing in the solo, or is it just like the mindset and the vibe of the music?
I was trying to do, how you say it in English, that you copy the solo, how you say it, transcribe. I was trying to do that a lot, even without my ear training. That was my ear training, actually, that I was everything copying, or when I heard the beautiful solo, I just wanted to play it on the bass, and that's what I do till today. When I was young, I was just transcribing the solo. Now I would just transcribe it to understand it more. And yeah, it's understand why it's so beautiful. Not that it is beautiful, but why it's so beautiful.
Yeah. What is he doing on which chord and where does he go?
Yeah, I think it's time for that.
What's the latest solo you transcribe? Or the latest musician you've discovered?
Yeah, it's Armando's Rumba Chicoria song. I was in love with this piece. I remember Donnelly actually was the first theme that was more complex that I've learned just hearing, because I couldn't read the music, so just hearing the melody and trying to play it. Yeah. Yeah, but I think with my memory, it's not that amazing. I forget things very quickly. So that's why I want to understand them more, to follow the chords and the melodies. Yeah.
A question from the audience.
Sorry. I was wondering, when you want to make a song, like, what's the process in that? Do you make like an A and a B section, or like a verse and a chorus,
mm-hmm.
or like a cool lick or something that you build?
Mm-hmm. You mean about when I create my own song?
Yeah.
I still don't know how it happens, but I think usually I just feel it, I would say. Recently I had a quite intense conversation with my cousin, cousin, it's family. And she was talking about something to me, and then I had certain emotions about that, and I just went to my room and I just played. And I thought, wow. And this is the beginning that I don't understand, actually, but I want to follow it and just go with the emotions, because I think about certain conversation or something and I just follow the melody more. And very rarely I am in the room and I have, like, I want to create a song. It's more like I take the bass and it just come up. But for me, the main point is to have the melody. So I remember when I was creating Joy Joy, the song, and I just started to play. And it's simple bass line, but I thought it's kind of cool. Then I thought, I don't know a lot, but I want to keep the E major minor sound. So it's just the lick. And when I have that, I just try to follow the theme, but not make it too complicated, but just understand that it should make sense and to keep it together. So sometimes I try to, to have the structure. Because here, this song has just four chords in the chorus, for example, I play. And that's the part I came up with. And then I thought, at these chords, I want to create something more. And I came up with... Thank you. you play the same licks, or you can understand that these are the same connections, but with just using different words. So I would say I say the same sentence, but with different vocabulary. And yeah, I always try to find a way to express my feelings and to not only create the song, because I want to create the song. That's why I'm very frustrated if nothing is in my head.
Sometimes it takes time.
Yeah, sometimes it takes time. And but I always think about space, rhythm, actually rhythm at the beginning, and having the melody so you can understand what I'm talking about. I don't know if I answered a bit your question. Yeah, but in my case, it's more about feeling, I think, something.
Must then also be, it could be difficult when you have a new piece and you go to the band and go, hey guys, I have this piece. Mm-hmm. And everything's written from a feeling or an emotion, and then somebody else is going to play that emotion.
It
must be weird to explain, like, okay, I had a conversation with my niece, and I thought of stuff, and then I played this. So let's go.
I don't do that very often with my band. I rather prepare things, and they already know the whole song. And this is actually the interesting thing that always is something deep for me, that we are in a band and we should talk about the same thing. So I think it's good to try to find people that you talk about the same thing, that we are playing in the same time and telling the same story to the listener. Yeah, that's a good point, actually.
Yeah, because somebody else has to translate. You have translated your feelings into music.
Yeah.
And then other people have to translate that music, like, back to feelings to the audience for somehow to understand what your feelings were.
Yeah. Not easy. Now I've never thought about that.
I've made it.
They have to play my feelings. Now they can play theirs. That's why I think improvisation is also something special, that they can just put their self, and they don't have to be robots and play it all the time the same way.
But do you explain what the song is about when you give it to the band?
Sometimes, yes. Yeah. And I want to understand what I'm talking about when I play as well. Sometimes I don't understand myself as well.
Yeah, but you wrote it.
Yeah. No, sometimes I play something, for example, this. There is an idea, and I just have to understand if this is my emotion, or this the song is called Overdrive, so it's just harsh song, and there is a lot of happening. So it's not always about my emotions, because I would say joy is not, it's about joy, but it's not super deep in my life. It's just a great joy song.
It just happened.
It just happened. Yeah.
Are there more questions? Yeah, there's a question.
Do you have a piece that feels most like you? Peace.
I think all of them in different periods of time. I really like Joy's song that I've created, because I really like this funky melody. But I couldn't say that this song is the closest to me, because I came up with these melodies, almost all of them, on my own. So they are close to me, all of them. So I couldn't pick the one that is my favorite. I'm sorry.
It's a terrible cliche. It's like picking it between your kids.
Yeah.
I like one of them more most of the time, and then
this one. Yeah. No, but I understand the question. But yeah. different songs at the different period of my life. Yeah.
You play electric bass?
Yeah.
Do you play double bass as well? Or do you consider that?
I tried once. And I think I would just need to spend as much time with double bass as with the bass guitar. And to be honest, I don't know if I can say it publicly, but
remember we're at the Dutch double bass festival here.
No, I think sometimes I have this feeling that some bass players I prefer to play bass, and some of them I just remember or prefer to listen when they play the double bass, and I like less when they play bass. So I think there are not so many that I would say they are bass players and double bass player together. So I would love to spend maybe some time with double bass as to improve, but I know I just have to connect with the instrument. It's just a different way of playing that you have to be aware of. I don't know if I'm right. I'm a young person, sorry.
You're playing for yourself.
Yeah.
Try to connect to
No, I agree with you. I think I to feel free on the day double bass, I would just have to spend a lot of time practicing as well.
I think concerning time, we have time for one more question.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Good evening. Good evening.
Do you have time beside your own career to play with other musicians, like a session bass player or?
This is a good question. And this is actually, I think this might be my next step in life, because I was always playing my things, because I was releasing almost year after year my album, so I was very focused on playing my thing. And I think I also felt secure playing my things, because it's always a challenge to play with someone. But I would love to do that, and that's why I prepare for that, and I do my ear training every day.
So if someone asks you, you don't say no. I don't know.
So I just want to be or feel comfortable and not afraid of going and play with people and just have fun with and giving my best to talk about the same thing that they want to talk about.
Great, but first, in I think an hour.
Yeah.
Your own concert in, I think, the hall over there.
Oh, yeah.
I think we'll all be there, right?
Yeah.
Please come.
Thank you, Kinga.
Thank you so much for being tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Je luisterde naar Basgasten en dit keer was ik in gesprek met Kinga Glick. Basgasten wordt gemaakt door mij, Hidde Roorda. De muziek die je hoort is van Tyranny Flock. Alle genoemde nummers staan in de Basgasten playlist op Spotify. Check vooral ook Basgasten op Facebook en Instagram. En vergeet vooral niet vriend van de show te worden op vriendvandeshow.nl/basgasten. En laat een review achter op Apple Podcasts. Dit is de laatste aflevering van seizoen 2. Binnenkort ben ik terug met allemaal nieuwe mooie gesprekken.